A reading from the 14th chapter of John's Gospel. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the place where I am going." Thomas said to Jesus, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Thomas's question is real. It cuts to the heart of the matter for many of us right now. This pandemic has changed so much. Many have had to live with this terrible virus, and many more live in fear of what will happen when we contract the virus. And in the meantime, we're cut off from much of the human support that we depend upon. And feelings of isolation are real. We don't know where all this is going. So like Thomas, we wonder, how can we know the way? This exchange between Jesus and Thomas happens on the night in which Jesus was betrayed. He has been with the disciples for 3 years, and now he must face his own death. The disciples knew this. So I wonder if Thomas's question comes less out of a place of not knowing and more out of a place of fear. None of us can know what the future holds, even in the best of times. Usually we function pretty okay with not knowing, but in times of extreme uncertainty, like a pandemic, for instance, the future feels all the more unpredictable. And it is under this kind of stress that many of us demand answers, answers that cannot be ours. I believe that the church, that faith communities, and in some ways that people in general, that right now we're having the curtain of certainty pulled back on us. Like there has been this facade allowing us to believe that we can control what is to come, especially if our privilege has provided us with a false stance of thinking that we can predict the future. We cannot. And learning how to live into this knowledge, or lack thereof, I believe may be our greatest gift of these days. Jesus doesn't give exact instructions with points A, B, and C that we are to follow. In John 14, he says that he prepares a place for us at the end of our journeys, but he will not dictate the steps that we must take to get there. Instead, he shows us the way. And it is through him and how he has lived his life that we find our way. His way, truth, and life become conversation partners for us as we forge our own journey into ventures unknown. I am in awe of the freedom that is being offered to us here and the clear invitation. What if this halt in our usual lives, what if it could be a chance to take stock in what really matters? I mean, think of how we do church. What programs take most of our time and money? And are they worth it? Whose needs are we serving anyway? And where has privilege been built into our systems so that the less connected are made to feel like outsiders? And what if we could lean into our relationships with each other so that they could become more mutually transformative? Yet even as I consider these questions and I consider the efforts of many in various faith communities, I also know that many of us are choosing to self-select out of organized religion. And author Diana Butler Bass, in her book Grounded, says it's some of the most faithful who are leaving their communities. And it's not because they prefer Sunday brunch or sports events. It's not because they are too busy or even lacking in moral passion. She writes, "We are not lazy, self-centered, or individualistic church shoppers. We are heartbroken. Heartbroken by the fact that the faith traditions that raised us and that we love seem to be sleeping through the revolution." Now, revolution is a strong word, and so I imagine you are asking, what is this revolution? What I believe she's getting at is that there are people that are deciding to care more about the gospel than their institutions. They put relationships first. It's about people who are willing to take risks and try new ideas. And not just in small ways, but in all things new kind of ways. This movement can be both terrifying and invigorating, but it is the conversation that we are being invited to. We are being invited to this journey. It is the way to which Jesus is calling us. I understand. I believe that Thomas was perhaps anxious, uncertain, or afraid of what the future might bring. And he was demanding in this place that Jesus give him clearer directions with points A, B, and C that he could follow. And Jesus said no. There is a way of being in relationship that you are invited to, yes. But how you flesh that out is your journey to make. And by the way, Jesus says, I trust you. In this time of global pandemic, I do believe that we are to be careful with each other's lives and thoughtful in how we create necessary safeguards to protect the most vulnerable among us. And yet these cautions, they cannot bring us to fullness of life. May these days of reflection grant us a deeper wisdom about what matters most. And may we find the courage to live out this gift of life in new ways. Forever willing to start again so that we best meet the needs of our neighbor and the fragile planet that holds us.